The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I am excited to bring back the director of marketing from Four Oaks Capital, Mr. Brian Briscoe. Brian, how are you? Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Cody. Thanks for having me on again. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for taking some time for us again. For those that maybe missed the last show where we brought you on, would you mind just telling our folks where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in today?
Yeah. So once again, don't remember exactly how I phrased it last time, so this might be a little different, but I grew up in the Salt Lake City area, you know, went to University of Utah, was trying to be, you know, a math professor, you know, so bachelor's, master's in math. I was at the University of Minnesota on September 11th, 2001, and decided to, you know, go active duty in the Marine Corps. That's what I've been doing for the last 20 years. And, you know, I realized a couple of years ago that every chance that I had to, you know, get out or stay in, you know, every decision point that I had, I chose to stay in because I hadn't planned to get out. You know, I hadn't planned to, you know, an alternative. So, a couple of years ago when I started seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, which, you know, in the military, you can retire at your 20-year mark. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are, 20 years of service, you're able to retire. So when I started seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, I started ramping up, you know, my exit plan and really formulating the exit plan. I had a handful of single family rentals. You know, I like to call myself, I was a real estate hobbyist. You know, it wasn't a business at all, but I just decided that I wanted to make a real estate business my exit plan. So got into multifamily coaching program, you know, joined various educational platforms and communities, which incidentally, you know, really helped my trajectory. Met a couple of guys who were doing the same thing. I was interested in the Carolina markets and met a couple of guys who were, you know, living in the Carolina markets and were also from Carolina. So long story short, in the last, you know, 3 years, we've put together a portfolio of roughly 500 units. We're about to come full cycle on our first deal, should be under contract soon. And then we're also closing on, you know, property number 9 in about a month.
Wow. Congratulations on all that. That I know we talked a little bit last time about the challenges you guys had on the first property. So that's great that y'all are going to be coming full cycle here soon. And again, yeah. Thank you for your service. I think on behalf of all of our audience for that.
Appreciate that. It's actually our fourth property purchase that will be coming on full cycle for the first one. So,
oh wow,
just interesting turn of events. We paid $2.4 million for an 80-unit property. We put about $700,000 in renovations into the property, just under, you know, $10,000 a door, including interiors and exteriors. And in the last 2 months, we've had, you know, a couple of unsolicited offers. And one of them hit our mark, you know, one of them hit our 4 year, it was planned to be a 4 year hold. We don't have a contract in hand, but we're looking at the possibility of exiting early, and we'll actually hit our investor multiple in, you know, a year and a half instead of 4 years. So
good deal. I'm sure that just drives up the IRR as well.
Yeah. For yeah. So, I mean, the IRR is going to be, you know, ridiculous is the answer. So anyway, it's going to be far higher than we projected. Being able to get the equity multiple in 18 months instead of 4 years, I think is a win. And I don't think anybody's going to complain.
Yeah, no, if we were on that investor side, that sounds like a win in my book, yeah. if I ever saw one. But I would imagine even with that kind of success, mm-hmm. as we talk about on this show, not everything is successful. Sometimes we struggle, mm-hmm. sometimes we fail. So what comes to mind today that you can help educate our audience on your career and some bumps and bruises maybe you've taken?
You know, I can talk about that specific property. You know, it's we got a management company, and you know, we were not super excited about the management company that we had on our other properties, and so we were looking for another management company, and you know, we interviewed a couple, and we with the one that we thought would be the best. And they happened to be the company that was currently managing that property. And that was ultimately the deciding vote, you know, because what we saw in the finances, I mean, when you purchase a property, you typically get 2 to 3 years worth of finances. But they told us, hey, we've been operating this property since this date. And when you look at the finances, the income went up as of the date they started managing, the expenses went down, and the NOI just went up pretty significantly. So, you know, we decided to keep them on the property, you know, no transition, it'd be super easy. But it wasn't long before we started realizing that, you know, there were certain things that they were really good at, and there were certain things that they weren't, you know. So part of our plan that the previous owner, what we were told from the property manager, the previous owner didn't really have a renovation budget, didn't really have a capital expense budget. You know, they were just operating the property. And when expenses came up, they'd pay the expenses out of the operating income and move on, you know? So we came in with, you know, $800,000 renovation budget for the property. And, you know, we spent seven of the 800,000 up to now, but there was a couple of heavy lifts. And one thing this particular property management company was not good at was the construction management, the renovation management. What they were very good at was collections. You know, they were very good at getting people to sign lease renewals. They were very good at getting new people in, you know, so if somebody's moving out, they would have somebody pre-leased. This particular property had 8 units that were not rentable when we purchased it. You know, so 10% of the units were not rentable. You know, less than a year, like 8 months after we ended up firing this company, they'd run this property for 9 months. In the 9 months time, they were not able to get those 8 units up to a rentable status. And it was frustrating because when we purchased the property, we told them your number one priority is getting those 8 units up, you know, and they had some immediate traction and got one up in a couple of weeks. But 8 months later, you know, it was just like, you guys still haven't gotten all 8 up. You know, they had 5 of the 8, and it became quite clear that they were not going to change their management style for us. They were going to continue to manage things the way that they previously managed things, and they weren't going to change to accommodate the things that we wanted them to do. We had brought them on, and we had, after that property, we had 1, 2, 3, we had 4 acquisitions after that property, and they were managing the whole portfolio. So it wasn't just because we were frustrated on the one property, but we were somewhat frustrated on how they were managing the entire portfolio, because, you know, a lot of the renovations were not getting done. You know, the things that we had, you know, told our investors that we were doing, we had to do. You know, we had to do the construction management when, you know, the property manager, you know, should have done it. And, you know, we were doing things that we felt the property manager should be doing. We were also doing spot checks with our on-site staff. I mean, my partner who does the asset management visits every property at least once a month. He's within a 2-3 hour drive of all of our properties, but he'll visit all the properties at least once per month. And when he was talking to the on-site staff, he was asking them, hey, you know, what about this? What about that? I mean, the other thing that was frustrating is things just weren't trickling down. You know, so we would say, hey, to the property manager, our most important, our number one priority for the next week is X. And where the rubber meets the road, they weren't getting that information communicated to them. So anyway, it was a decision that we made to find another property management company who could come in and do better across the entire portfolio. So yeah, we did that. It's been 2.5 months since we transitioned to a management company. And I mean, granted, we're still kind of in the honeymoon phase, you know, as far as that goes, but you know, so far they've done a lot better. They're more expensive, which is probably why we shied away from them at the beginning, you know, but end of the day, you end up getting what you pay for. So you know, we looked at the alternatives, you know, keep paying a lower price with the company that we have, or pay more and in the hopes of getting more. And that's what we decided to do.
looking back, this isn't the first time that we've heard from our guest about property managers. You know, many have had challenges, whether it's because they're out of state and it's tougher to manage some of those things out of state, or even several time zones apart, or just the piece that they're, like you were saying, that they don't do all the necessary items that you need them to do effectively. Mm-hmm. Looking back to when y'all were going through your interview phase and wanting to retain them, what would you have done differently or looked at or evaluated differently that would have helped you maybe make the decision then to go with a different group, knowing what you know now?
You know, part of it was, you know, we were, and it's really hard. I mean, you can talk to other people who are using the same property management company. You know, I think that's a key right there. We had driven by several properties that they managed. We met them in their offices. We met the staff. You know, we thought we had done, you know, a significant amount of due diligence. We talked to other people in the market, and it was actually our lender that pointed out the fact that, you know, the numbers went up after these guys started managing the property. And it was our lender that said, you guys should probably keep them on, because our lender had a relationship with them too. So, I mean, we had done everything that we thought, you know, every stoplight had green on it, you know? So, you know, and really, I think part of the issue was, you know, the particular property manager was not visiting the sites, you know, and that was part of it. And the owner of the company was not willing to, like I said, change. You know, he wasn't willing to put his foot down and say, hey, property manager, you need to make sure this stuff is done. You know, so end of the day, I mean, I think really the company culture, and it's hard to judge, you know, it's hard to tell what the company culture is until you've worked with them for a while. But just, you know, talk to the property managers and see how active they are. You know, are you going to the properties? How often can we expect you to visit the properties? And I mean, that ended up being part of the problem. You know, 8 months, the property manager had been to our one of the properties only 3 times, you know, and it was, I mean, we're getting out to the properties once a month. Why can't you get out to the properties at least once a month? Really, it's just, you know, we thought we had made our expectations clear. And like I said, they'd given us, you know, thumbs up, pats on the back, and, you know, warm hugs, you know, all throughout the courting period, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah. And that's a valuable lesson, I'm sure, that has helped you now in the new property manager that y'all brought on board, is making sure that those types of questions are asked. I mean, to your point, if you're able to get out to the properties at least once a month, your team is, yeah, that should be a minimum requirement for your property manager. Being that that's their sole responsibility.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, they manage several properties, you know, I mean, the average, the size properties that we have, 100 plus, I mean, the average, you know, manager is probably managing, you know, 5 to 8 properties that size, but 30 days in a month, you know, and they're typically assigned a region. It's not like, you know, it's not like somebody that's based out of Columbia is managing something in Oklahoma City and then Denver and Columbus, Ohio. You know, they're managing things in their neighborhood, in their backyard. So it was roughly a 45-minute drive from where she lived to the property, and she just didn't make it.
Yeah, and I can definitely see how that's a challenge, and obviously not what you guys wanted to see, and that's why you have a new one today. And yeah, again, another valuable lesson learned just through experiencing and going through the motions of actually getting those types of assets under management. Brian, I think that's a good enough spot as ever to wrap things up. I can't thank you enough for your time today. For those that do want to maybe follow up, learn from your experience a little bit more, even work with you and the Four Oaks Capital Group, where is the best place folks can find you?
Well, I mean, Four Oaks Capital has a website, and frankly, the website's more designed towards, you know, passive investors. So fouroakscapital.com, you know, if that's what you're interested in. For people who are, you know, more interested in education or potentially, you know, partnering with us, we have a new platform that we've developed, educational platform. You know, we're turning it into a community. We want to bring a lot of people together, you know, in this community that's centered around an educational aspect. It's called the Tribe of Titans, and the website is thetribeoftitans.info, and that'll tell you a little bit about what we have to offer. But that's really been my focus over the last couple of months, and will continue to be my focus over the next several, you know, until that's, you know, up and running all by itself.
And we'll put links to both of those in the show notes for everyone to easily access them. Brian, thank you again for everything that you've been able to educate our audience on, and myself included. Thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.